value to the kids in Southern Ontario? Why do we bother with it? So a couple weeks ago, we had our annual fundraising banquet in London. And as part of that, I always ask for different people to speak about how camp has impacted their lives or the lives of people they know. And so I asked this one gentleman named Sean to speak. Now, Sean is a parent of three kids. All three of his kids have attended camp. His oldest son worked for me this summer. His oldest daughter has done our leadership and training program. So I thought, well, this is a really good person to ask. This is a really good person to talk about the changes that he's seen in his kids' lives. So he comes up, and he starts off very well, very strong. Camp this, camp that. And then he says, so I was talking to my daughter one day in the car, and I said, so tell me something. This place that you love to go to, that you go to every year, has old, can't use the lake because the beach is so rocky. Like, all the buildings are kind of run down. There's spiders everywhere. The food's not even that good. Why do you do this? And I'm standing at the back of the church going, what is he talking about? What? Why is he going like this? He was pretty nervous, and I kind of caught his eye, and he kind of winked at me. And oops. He kind of winked at me. I thought, okay, I'm going to let him go. And he said his daughter's response was, because this is where I build relationships with people. This is where I connect with friends. This is where I connect with God. I was a little bit nervous about where he went after that. But he kind of came around to saying, look, you can do away with, you can kind of get over the fact that there are spiders everywhere. And the food actually isn't that bad. And we are building new cabins, if you haven't heard. And the old ones are fine. They stand. They didn't fall over or anything. But those are the things that attract kids to camp anyway. It's the opportunity to meet Jesus, and it's the opportunity to make friends that last a lifetime. It's really important. So when you see pictures of camp and you kind of go, that's not why kids come. That's not the important part of it. So this morning I want to talk about a research study. I want to talk about the community. I want to talk about camper experiences. I want to talk about treading water. And I want to talk about transformations. But first I want to let you know a little bit about who I am. You might think that I am one of those who kind of came up through the camp ranks and was a camper for a lot of years and then became a leader and then worked on staff, and now here I am 12 years later running the place. You would be wrong. When I was a child, despite going to Westview Baptist Church, which sent lots of kids to camp, hated the idea of camp and refused to go. So I had my own why camp moment at one point. And it was when I was 18 years old. I managed to go through my entire childhood without going to camp at all. And I think I turned out just fine. But on reflection, I think I missed a lot of things. But when I was 18, my best friend at the time called me up and he said, camp needs a leader next week. It was Friday night or something, so it was like 2 days from then. Camp needs a leader next week, a cabin leader. Will you go and do this? I know you don't like camp. I know you don't think it's for you, all of that. But just go do this for me. And I said, well, see, you know how I feel about camp. You know that this is not something that I'm really into. It's not my thing. Like, staying in a small building with a bunch of other people, like, I just kind of need my space and my privacy. It's not really my thing. He said, if you go do this, I will never, ever, ever ask you to go to camp again. I will never talk about it. Just go do this 1 week. So I thought and I prayed and grudgingly said, okay, fine, I will go, just to get off my back. I spent 5 weeks at camp that summer. I have since spent at least a week every year for the last 20-some-odd years. And 12 years ago, I was offered the opportunity to serve as the camp manager, and I took it. So what I didn't know growing up that I learned firsthand by being there was all of the things I'm going to talk about this morning, about the power of community and the power of relationship and the closeness of God and the transformation that occurs in kids' lives. So I mentioned that we're going to talk about a research study. The University of Waterloo did a study a number of years ago talked about kids' camps in general. What does camp do in the lives of kids? And they found a few things. Camp helps children build stronger social networks. Anybody in here go to camp as a child? You, not a lot, okay. You still keep in touch with people that you went to camp with? Anybody? Even few, okay. But that's a long time ago, no offense, right? So that's pretty impressive that you kept friendships for that long, right? So camp does help kids build stronger social networks. The foundation of that, especially in today's sort of tech-savvy world, is it's an in-person relationship. It's not an online relationship. Right? The foundation of that is they come together and they meet and they spend a week together, person-to-person, face-to-face contact. They can certainly, you know, keep that contact going throughout the year, and it's a lot easier to do that now than it was when I was that age and some of you were that age. But the foundation of it is person-to-person. So you get people who are different from you. You get to meet people and befriend people who come from a different city or had a different upbringing or created from a different country or maybe have a different family composition than you. So you get to meet people who are different from you. And these social networks that are formed at camp, the research found, are characterized by a sense of belonging and a sense of support. So kids identified that camp was a place where they felt they belonged. And kids identified that camp was a place where they felt they were supported. They knew they could depend on the people that they met there, whether it be their friends or whether it be their cabin leaders or the program directors or whoever. They knew that that was a place where they were supported. So we've seen that over the years at Camp Hermosa, where friendships are formed and deepened. You may have seen a few weeks ago, we've started this new cabin build project. And in order to start the project, we needed to move the old cabins. Did anybody see? There was some video that was put up. I don't know. Okay, a few of you saw that. Okay. So this group of guys who went to camp together as kids, who are now in their late 40s, early 50s, kind of said, you want to move some cabins? We can move some cabins. Okay, how are you going to do that? Well, we don't know exactly, but we'll figure it out when we get there. It's fine. And so these cabins are kind of 12 foot by 20 feet, and they've been standing since the 50s or 60s. So they're not new, and nobody really knows, if you're going to try to move them, just how sturdy they're going to be. And so, I mean, building is not my thing. I'll put that out there right now. So I have no concept of whether their ideas are good or not. But what comes into camp that day is this gigantic flatbed truck, and on it are these old hay wagon frames. And I kind of went, okay. A steer comes in as well. So the idea is, well, we're just going to jack up one side of the cabin, and then we're going to put a bunch of blocks under it, and then we're going to jack up the other side of the cabin, and put a block under that. Keep doing that. Then we're going to slide the wagon underneath, and then take all the blocking away, and just pull the cabin. Sounds simple. So the first one took 3.5 hours, and it's 11 o'clock in the morning at this point, and I'm thinking, oh boy. And these guys are just having the time of their lives, though, right? Like, they are reminiscing with each other about their time at camp, and they're moving the girls' cabins, too, right? Which is like bringing back all these memories of all the things they did as kids with the girls at camp and all that kind of stuff. And so they are just reconnecting and some of them have been connected with camp, some of them not for a long time. Some of them have seen each other regularly, some of them have not seen each other for a long time. But they are just having an absolute blast figuring this out on their own. And just to give you an idea, this is a group of like handy guys. Like, this is an executive with a major corporation and a sales agent with an IT firm and a stay-at-home dad. And these are not guys who you would think would have a lot of capacity to do what they're doing. And yet, they managed to get these six cabins on wagons and only tipped one. But when it tipped, it didn't break. And we kind of went, whoa, this thing's like 50 years old. And it fell off the wagon and landed on its side And so now we're looking at this thing, and you can see the bottom of it. So they decided, well, the next best thing to do is to sign their names to the bottom of this cabin. So somebody went and got a Sharpie, and that's what they went and did. But then the question was, well, how are we going to get this thing upright, get it back on the wagon? Well, if six of us push on one side, and we tie some chains to the skid steer, and it can pull from the other side, we can right this thing. Okay, so that's what we try to do. And sure enough, cabin comes back upright. And I kid you not, the only damage were two broken windows. The windows did not break, the siding did not crack, the frame was fine, and we were just amazed. This building that had housed thousands of kids over the course of 50 years fell on its side, and two broken shingles was all the damage we had to deal with, which is pretty impressive. But these guys, I mean, this just made their day, right? This was, and they said after the fact, this was the most fun they had had in an awfully long time. But that's the power of friendship that is formed and endures at camp, right? These guys who came back together in service to something greater than themselves, but used it as an opportunity to reconnect with one another and to laugh and to joke and to just have a day. It was a pretty cool experience. Over my time at camp, we've experienced a number of tragedies as well, and I've seen the power of friendship in and amongst the tragedies when people can come together as a source of support for one another. It gives you assurance, and it gave me assurance that you don't always have to be the strong one because you have people around you who can lift you up. And you can grieve together, and you can mourn together, and then you can heal together and move on. And so when these tragedies have struck, I've watched people come back and reconnect with their friends and lean on one another and be a source of support and encouragement for one another as well. So back to this research study. Camp promotes an active lifestyle. We're outside for most of the time. The variety of activities that are presented to kids at camp allows them to value physical activity and being outdoors, but it also allows them to discover things that they're good at or that maybe they're interested in that they otherwise would never have figured out. Right? So we know that that time outdoors is something that can be a good value for kids. Camp also helps kids develop emotional intelligence. Wouldn't we agree that kids and adults who are emotionally intelligent and emotionally aware are a good thing? We should have more people like that. So kids learn how to express themselves. They learn how to cope with their different emotions at camp. They become more self-aware of their emotions, and they become more aware of how to read emotions and feelings among others, and how to be sensitive to that. So this study also found that camps help kids foster independence and self-confidence. So that's life skill development. That's kids who come to camp who have never been away from home before and have to learn how to make their bed in the morning. It's a very simple little thing, but it's a source of anxiety for some kids. Or kids who go away from home and have never had to navigate turning on a shower before or turning on the taps before. You laugh, but it's true. There are kids who come to camp who don't know how to turn on a tap. And so they get this life skill experience at a very basic level that endures with them, that they take home with them, that stays with them. They also get to experience things that are outside of their comfort zone. So they get to experience living with other people that maybe they can't be as mean to because they're not related to them. So they have to learn how to navigate the social interactions with the cabin or at the dining table or whatever it is. They learn how to take risks. They learn how to take risks in an environment that is safe and secure. I was talking to somebody the other day who was a long time ago camper. He was talking about a presentation that he was giving at work, and somebody else that was in the room kind of said, "Wow, public speaking, that's not something that I would really be comfortable with. It must be hard for you to do that." And he said, "I look back to my time at camp. When I had to do a skit at campfire, when I had to sing a song at dinner time or when I had to get up and read scripture or something at Vespers or at Bible study. Those experiences gave me the confidence to be able to do that now. So when I give a presentation now, when I speak in public now, I just think back to those times. It's the same kind of thing. It that confidence in me. And I'd never thought about that before, but he's absolutely right. Camp gives kids opportunities to do things that they otherwise wouldn't get to do. And the experiences and the confidences that kids take from that stay with them and build as they continue to come back to camp and learn more things. So that's what the research found. What the research didn't talk about was the faith aspect of things. And it was beyond the scope, obviously, of the study. But I'm here to tell you that Christian camps, Camp Hermosa specifically, give kids an opportunity to meet Jesus. They give kids an opportunity to grow in their faith, to explore the questions of faith, and to make commitments to follow Christ. There was a study done in the United States a few years ago, a very comprehensive study about the life of the church. And one of the things that it found was 2/3 of people who make decisions for Christ do so before they turn 18. So of all the people that are Christ followers in the world, 2/3 of them make decisions before they become adults. And of those people, the vast majority of them do not make those decisions in church. So if they're not doing it in church, where are they doing it? The camp is a prime example of an extension of the life of church where kids can grow in their faith and be challenged and discover who God is in their life. At camp, they get regular exposure, and they get a model of what it means to be in community in a Christian environment. And for us, kids and youth ministry is our prime focus. So we don't have some of the other influences or priorities that have to be balanced by churches and other Christian agencies. Kids and youth are our focus. So all of these things that I've mentioned, the social interaction, the active lifestyle, faith development, the independence, and self-confidence, they all happen in the context of community. And the scripture this morning that we read was meant to paint a picture of what it meant to be in community. Shared life, shared resources, shared purpose, shared prayer, shared encouragement, shared support. I believe that community is misunderstood and undervalued in a lot of churches. I don't know if yours is one of those, but I've spoken at a lot of churches over the years. I believe that community, Christian community, is misunderstood and undervalued. I want to take a moment now, and I'm going to have Ethan at the back queue up the video, because I think I've spoken for long enough for a few minutes. I want you to hear what community and the camp experience means right from the mouths of some of the youth that has had here today. So check out this video.
Home is a cliche word, you know, but that's kind of what it has become. Like, I can't imagine a year not coming, like, even if it's just to at fall retreat, just like being here on the grounds and like having like special places where I know like I've had encounters with God.
I don't know, I love it. I gotta come every year, it's mandatory. I don't know, it's the one place where you're like free, anyone can listen to you, anyone will talk to you.
Now that I've been going to camp for like almost every single summer, camp's just like, it's like a second home. It's a way for me to connect with God, after like a long, hard school year, and it's just a way for me to, like reconnect with my friends and God and like, spiritually just like a refresher, so.
I think it was junior high, my first year. We went out to see like the stars. There's a meteor shower, and like we all like sat outside and watched the stars, like shooting stars going through. And I still remember that. Like that's the first time I've seen like stars. It's so like bright and close compared to like Windsor from where I'm from. Like you don't see that type of thing.
The first time that I went out to Vespers, it was just the greatest feeling ever. I really felt like God was like with me, like going out there. And
last year at junior high, one of the Thursday nights, at Vespers. Emma Carla gave her testimony, and it just kind of, like, really spoke to me, and kind of taught me that, like, I'm not alone going through what I'm going through, and that, like, there's so many other people that, like, go through the same thing. It was so nice to just, like, be at Vespers, like, and really, like, feel, like, God's spirit with all of us. It was just, like, nice to, like look back on that, like, during the year and just remember, like, I'm not alone, like, there's other people.
When you're home, you never actually experience, like, a whole bunch of people, like, connected that way, because it was so special, and then you come home, and then it's just like, oh, it's all over. And then you come back the next summer, and you're like, yay, it's back.
Probably the time at Vespers last junior high, when everyone got super emotional, and we all just sat there for, like, 2 hours or something like that, just crying, praying. It was, like, a really special moment, special place. Really, like, you could feel something was different there. I don't know, it was really memorable.
Yeah, it's a family away from home. It's just it's another family, and, like, where you can, like, be together, and, yeah. It's like, at school, it's, like, hard to be yourself, so, like, it's better to be yourself at camp. Like, everyone loves you, and everyone knows you. No one's left out, too.
Those relationships are, like, relationships that I'm gonna have, like, my whole life, because we've met at camp, like, and we believe the same thing.
I came here first, and it was like, okay, I'm like, learning and, like, opening up and stuff like that, and now I'm, like, wanting people to open up, so, like, during Devos, I'll, like, act more part, like, as a participant, and I'll try and, like, be like, come on, open up, I want to hear your story.
Daniel, Thatch, Gabe, Jackson, everyone, like, can tell them everything, because they're not gonna go around telling everyone but anything. So.
If I didn't have the friends that I have at camp, and, like, just the friends that I have at home, I wouldn't be as strong in my faith as I am, and I wouldn't have those people to, like, talk to, like, all the time, and, like, we all kind of, like, keep each other connected during the year with God, and, like, we all look forward to camp and, like, hanging out and, like talking about God, and then, like, also other things. So, like, if I didn't have, like, those, like, strong Christian friends, like, during the year, then I probably, like, wouldn't be as strong in my faith.
They're, like, not only my friends, they're my rocks. Like, I'll reach out to them if I need something, like, during the year, like, even leaders, whatever. Like, I went through something hard this year, and, like, the first, like, three people I reached were, like, camp friends or leaders. My closest friends that I can say are at camp, so I don't know. I probably wouldn't have gone through this year without them, so. I can see it in my siblings, like, the three of us since we all come here. I think it's nice that happened for me specifically, because, like, we'll just have times where she's talking to her camp friends, and then it'll remind me of, like, my camp friends, and I'll just, like, go and, like, talk to them or something. And, like, even during the day at school, like, I'll know that even though, like, I'm sitting alone by lunch, I'm like, whatever, like, I still have, like, deeper connections that I have at camp, and I just remember that, and it makes me happy.
Camp has just made me grow so much spiritually. Just because now I'm getting into stuff where, like, I'm a leader at our youth group and stuff like that.
I like it when the testimonies at Vespers are, because I'm like, you think about it, and I always remember them. I'm like, oh, I should try to do that. And then you just realize, oh, like, everyone struggles, and then, like, you just try to put yourself in other people's shoes just from, like, their experiences.
I hope that they get a week to just, like, spend without being on their phones constantly, and actually having to, like, try new things and, like, step out of their bubble, because, like, that's what happened to me. Like, I went from my, like, little bubble to, like, going to first year of camp and, like, just being a completely different person, and then bringing that person back into, like, my own life. So I hope that the same thing happens to them.
Having great leaders and, you know, everyone being there for everyone.
I'm gonna come here for as long as I can. Means a lot to me.
I hope that a lot of people will still be coming. So, like, I hope God is still, like, gonna be working through people, and that there'll be still a lot of great staff members, like, helping campers. I hope it's still here so that I can bring my kids here.
I hope that camp is, like, just as great as it is now for every single person, like it was for me. Just everybody is shown, like, so much love and welcoming. And I just, that's my favorite part, is just you walk in through those gates and it's like, welcome home.
So a couple things that that our teams talked about that I want to expand a little bit upon this morning and the rest of our time. In the context of community, there are three themes that I want to touch on real quick. Friendship is one, growth is number two, faith is number three. So friendship, I've already talked a little bit about that. The friends that are formed at camp, the enduring nature of those friendships and the depth of those friendships. But I think that the friendships that are formed within the context of community at camp form the foundation for faith decisions to be made. So to say that another way, Matt Wilkinson, who some of you will know, is the director of, I don't know what his title is anymore, Next Gen Ministries at CBOQ. So he does a lot of the youth stuff. And he says, and I think he's right, kids need to belong before they'll believe. So in other words, belonging is a prerequisite to believing today. So you can't intellectualize kids into a faith decision. They need to be a part of something where they know they belong. Camp is a prime place for that to happen. So we can't compel kids to believe what we believe, but we can offer them an environment that allows them to see the power of faith in Christ and the difference that it makes in our lives. And so that's what we strive to do through our time at camp. We can help them foster a proper sense of identity as children of God, people who Jesus loves, people who Jesus died for. You heard from some of our teens. I want to share with you a story of some of our younger kids. So our youngest camp is our junior age camp, and that's for 8, 9, 10-year-olds. And they did an activity this year where they were each given a rock. They were out at Vesper Point, which is where we do our evening worship. They were each given a rock, and they were asked to write on that rock something that somebody has said to them, or about who they are. So I want to share with you some of the things that were written on some of those rocks. They were done anonymously, so we didn't go kind of snooping around and see who said what about who. But here are some of the things that these 9 and 10-year-olds said. People had said to them or about them. They've been called stupid. They've been called dumb. They've been called fat. They've been called unimportant. They've been privates. And they've been called unwanted. And so that was a very poignant activity for these kids. And it required them to be very vulnerable. But the point of it was so that we could say to them, take that rock with that word or phrase written on it and set it at the cross and allow God to tell you who he thinks you are. So leave what other people have said behind and understand who God says you are. You are a child of his who he loves and he died for. And as kids identified at the end of the week, a greater awareness of God's love for them, and a greater awareness of how God values them, sees them, and how that's more important now than what people in their lives maybe have said to them. It's a very, very powerful experience for them. So beyond friendship, I think community leads to growth. And we see that at camp because we see campers growing, peers growing, directors grow into committee members, grow into alumni, grow into staff, maybe. I think camp is a great training ground for kids to learn how to be leaders, to learn how to care for one another, to learn the life skills that will launch them into the world. I got a text once from a former staff member of mine who was at the time working at a legal aid clinic. She was going through law school, and so she was in a legal aid clinic, and she said, I'm just trying to, right now, explain to my coworkers what a healthy work environment looks like, because this isn't one. And I said, well, why are you telling me this? She said, because to me, camp is a healthy work environment. And I said, what? She said, no, seriously. She said, for all of the stress that we have and all the busyness and all of the kind of figuring it out for ourselves that we do, camp is a place where we as a team focus on building each other up and encouraging each other. And she took that experience and it allowed her to identify when she wasn't in the future in a healthy work environment. It helped her to understand what it meant and the importance of being in a healthy work environment. That's something that will take with her as she grows through life. And that's something she learned at camp. So when we challenge kids to grow, what we're doing is we're saying we're investing in you. We're identifying the skills and the gifts that we think God has given you, and we want to help you nurture those things and grow those things. And this past summer, there was an example of that that I think is probably the most powerful example that I've seen of what happens when you give kids and young people the space to grow in their initiative and to grow in their leadership and to empower them to make a difference. I told you I wanted to talk about treading water. And some of you maybe have already heard this story, some of you maybe have not. But my lifeguard team this summer, which is composed of an 18-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 20-year-old, they came to me and they said, we think it would be fun to tread water overnight. And because they know me, and they saw the skeptical look on my face, they said, before you say anything, we want to use it as a fundraiser to raise money for new cabins. And so while I'm still skeptical, they know me well enough to know that anytime they want to do something that's going to raise money for camp, I'm probably going to be on board with it. And so we started to talk about, well, what is this going to look like? What would this mean? And so this fundraiser that you may or may not have heard of called Treading for Bedding was launched. And we've got a video that I'm going to ask Ethan to queue up because it shows you a little bit what it was like far better than I could ever explain it. But I want you, as you watch it, to recognize the fact that this was led entirely by young adults. It was their idea, it was their initiative, it was their hard work. So watch this.
So Treading for Bedding is our, as a lifeguard team, attempt to help raise funds to build new girls' cabins this fall.
We have $75,000 in total right now, which is enough to build three. So we're hoping to raise $25,000 so we can build one new cabin.
So the boys have already had a chance to live in these beautiful new cabins, and now it's the girls' chance to be able to come back next summer and experience the beautiful big cabins that we will be building for them.
Since the cabins are larger, this means that we can have more campers come, and that means that everyone can experience Hermosa.
So Treading for Bedding, we will be treading on August 11th from 7 p.m. till 7 a.m. with the hopes of raising more funds for the cabins.
We've raised $16,555 right now, and we'll be continuing to collect as we go on. So we have 2 minutes till we get in and start going.
So thank you guys for joining us. The structure of the night, all three of us are gonna start out for the first hour, and then we'll be rotating for the rest of the hour and finishing the last half hour together again as a team.
And we've got a bunch of the other staff here to support you guys. These guys are going to get in the pool now. So how are you guys going to get through the night? What's your strategy?
Just kind of leaning on each other. We'll have our manager, Scott, here and one of the other ones on the deck the whole time to keep us motivated. And then coffee, lots of coffee.
And entertainment.
And hoodies.
And hoodies.
Sleep.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Train! Woo! Woo!
So guys, what's your hope for our total for the night?
One cabin, $25,000.
All right. Well, we got a little bit closer. Maddie's going to update the board.
Ooh.
We're now at $17,655. Whoa!
Thank you, guys.
Cameron's in the water. Leah's behind her. You can see that there's an updated tally on the board, but Cameron doesn't know what it is. So, Cameron, why are you taking your day off, night off, to tread water overnight in the Camp Hermosa pool?
We're raising money for new girls' cabins, and as a girl camper that I once was, that will do for those coming next year and the coming years, and making Camp Hermosa sustainable for the coming years that my kids can come into camp and enjoy what I've had the benefit of having.
Cameron, the board, when you got in the pool, read 17,705. Yeah. Do you want to turn around and see what it is now?
Yeah.
All right, go for it. $18,255.
Wow.
Guys, keep those donations coming in. We are within striking distance of actually being able to build another girls' cabin, having it fully funded before the end of the summer. Jacob, without mentioning any names, is there a specific camper that sticks out in your mind from your time at camp that you've been impacted by or seen or worked with?
Yep. So last year we had a camper come to junior camp, and they hadn't had any background with God or hadn't gone to church before, and it was amazing to see their eyes open to the Word of God and see their hearts open up to God's love. And they took a Bible on Friday and went home and came back this year and were really excited that they'd been reading it and to learn more. So that was really encouraging.
And Leah's in the pool. She's been in since 1. So what are your biggest hopes for the next 3 weeks while you're at camp?
I hope that after this is over, everybody on staff feels like super proud and like energized to like keep on like going through the summer and like making changes at camp and like just in campers' lives. I'm super excited to like make new relationships with campers.
Minutes to go.
What are you guys feeling right now about the level of support that you've got?
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. When we first talked about the idea, it was like maybe $500, $1,000 at max. To hear that, you know,
in a week
we raised $20,000 or over $20,000. That's amazing. It just shows how far camp has reached and how many people it has impacted and how much it means to them, and that they're willing to give that much back is really incredible.
Mm-hmm. And how many more people we'd be able to touch because of the money mm-hmm. that we've been given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really...
Yeah.
Kind of hard to find the words sometimes, right?
Yeah.
Right.
That's why we're here.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
All right, treading for bedding, 2018 is over.
So when all was said and done, they raised $28,975 in 3 weeks, 4 weeks. And this was actually just a spontaneous, hey, it would be fun if we did this, maybe we can raise a little bit of money. and it captured something in the lives of the community at camp. And the takeaway for my lifeguard team, you heard Jacob say, like, we kind of thought $1,000, maybe $500,000. The takeaway for them wasn't, wow, look what we did. It was, wow, look what we can do with the support that we have. And look at the difference that it can make in kids' lives. And it was so encouraging for them and so affirming for them that what they've experienced at camp is also important to people who have come before them and who will come after them. So the last thing I wanted to talk about in the context of community was faith. And I think camp is a prime place for kids to learn how to own their faith. We talk a lot about how kids have to, at some point, make their faith their own. And camp is a great catalyst for that. In the words of a camper from this summer, several campers this summer, about what their experience at camp meant, how did their relationship with God grow at camp. I now feel like I can talk to God. I feel more connected to Him. I let God into my heart this week. I can trust Him no matter what. It was really good having some time with God and talking to Him. I want God in my life now. Kids at camp have seen their friends baptized. We had a baptism at our senior high camp this summer. We went down to the lake, and this boy got baptized. His youth pastor came up, baptized him. And later that night, I had one of his friends come running up to me across the field. Scott. He's this big, big guy, Jack. He said, what's up, Jack? I know this is my last year at camp. I know I'm going to be too old next year. But could I come back next year and be baptized here? He said, pretty sure we can figure that out, Jack. He's the one in the video earlier to talk about getting involved in leadership at his youth group. At the beginning of this summer, we asked him to come up and lead at camp. And his response in June was, I just don't see myself as a leader. And yet at the end of August, he's talking about coming back and getting baptized, and he's talking about getting involved as a leader in his own group at home. That's the transforming power of the development of faith. At our junior high camp last year, and it was sort of referenced in the video as well, we all go out to this spot called Vesper Point. We watch the sunset, we sing, we worship. And sometimes kids want to stay behind after the fact and pray and just take some alone time with God. And sometimes it brings up a lot of emotions, and so there's some crying and things like that. This one particular night last year, one of the boys, at the end of the Vespers time, went up to the cross, which is on the edge of the cliff, and you could hear this loud sobbing. And I found out after the fact that in his own life at home, his mom had been diagnosed with breast cancer, and he was working through some of the emotions of that. But at the time, we didn't know what was wrong. We just knew that something was wrong. And so myself and a number of the other leaders were standing at the back, and before we could do anything, before we could act on that, what we saw was 30 kids swarm him and put their arms around him and pray for him, cry with him, and encourage him and support him. And so we as leaders decided that the best thing we could do was just stand back and just let it happen. And so we were there, and you know, kids would come and go a little bit. This went on for 2 hours. There were, you know, this one big mass of kids broke off into other little groups, and this little cluster would be praying, and this little cluster would be singing, and this little cluster would be crying. And they would just kind of move from place to place, and we just let it happen. Because there's nothing more powerful than watching kids take care of kids. And they were a source of support for one another. They were a source of spiritual encouragement for one another. And we didn't have to be the catalyst for that. We just had to make sure it didn't go off the rails. But But they did it all on their own, and they did it without prompting. They did it because they loved and cared for one another. And it's that kind of deep faith that kids form at camp, that kind of deep love for one another in service to God, and in ways that they can use their faith in God to lift one another up. So what I want to do as we close today is play a short song, short chorus on the overhead that our junior high camp has sort of gotten into the habit of singing at the end of Vespers. And as we play it, the lyrics will be up there, so if you know it or if you think you know it, you can sing along if you'd like, just listen to it if you'd like. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to picture 60 teenagers sitting outside under the stars in the dark singing this song together. So even if we can play that now. We believe in God. So when you give your time and your talents and your money, and Tammy Ryle calls you up and says, hey, camp needs some help building cabins. Hey, we're going to do this hub ride, and We're going to raise money for camp's bursary fund so that kids who could never otherwise afford to go to camp can experience camp. When you give of yourself in that way, the kids that I've told you about this morning and the ones that you've seen on screen are the ones whose lives you're touching. And that's what you get to be a part of, as a part of the congregation, one of the congregations that supports Camp Crimson. And this church has been incredibly generous over the years with supporting camp. And we are so grateful for that. Hopefully I've been able to share with you a little bit this morning about the difference that you've made in hundreds and hundreds of kids' lives. So as we close this morning, I just want to maybe pray with you. Maybe we can pray for the kids that have come to camp in the past year and the ones that will be deciding to come next year. So let's pray together. Father God, we are so grateful that we get to be a part of your work in the world. We're so grateful that we can see the fruits of our labor sometimes. And when we talk about the kids whose lives have been touched, the kids whose entire lives have been transformed through their experience at camp. God, we're so grateful that we get to be a part of that. Lord, this morning we want to lift up the kids who were at camp this past summer, that the confidence that they learned, that the friendships they made, the experiences they had, the sense of themselves that was corrected by their encounter with you, would you strengthen those things in their lives, God, that would endure far beyond the week of camp. Will you continue to work in their lives, remind them of the things that they were taught, remind them of your nearness to them, remind them of your love for them, and inspire them and lead them in their lives, God. Be close to them and never let them go. We just thank you so much that you are a God who draws near to us. He loves each one of us so much. We think about the kids who are coming next to Sunday. The lives that will be touched in the future. We are just so excited for those possibilities. Prepare them even now, before they've even kind of given a thought to what happened next summer in their lives. Prepare them for what they're going to hear, what they're going to learn, for how they're going to be changed by their experience with you at Camp Crimson. God, be with us as we go this morning. Help us to build community in our own lives. Help us to be strengthened by that and to strengthen one another through that. We ask these things in Jesus' name.